coming up right now on the Midday 180.
Today is packed with football. Greg Cosell reviews the film from the Titans and Jags and details the Vikings matchup. And Doug Matthews previews Tennessee and South Carolina. The Midday 180 starts now.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180. Queued up by Edley's Barbecue with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
A packed show. Glad you're with us. Primary complaint a bit later this afternoon alongside Chad Withrow and Mount Juliet. Paul Kuharski's in Brentwood. I'm Jonathan Hutton in Murfreesboro. David Reed is the chairman of the board making the show happen for us in Nashville. Mentioned Greg Cosell's coming up. He's going to tell us if Jadeveon Clowney is making an impact for this Titans defensive front through 2 weeks. We'll get into the decision-making of Ryan Tannehill and much more. That is at 10:15. Doug Matthews previews Tennessee, South Carolina, and much more as we are headed to week one of the SEC season. That is at 11:15. We'll hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, plus primary complaint and more. Gentlemen, good morning.
I'm really enjoying the pace of our football week shows so far. And what I mean by the pace of the week, how the week turns the corner on Wednesdays, starting with Greg Cosell, because we get the review of the previous Titans game, and then we spin it into the preview of Vikings, and that's a consistent theme starting on Wednesday, later in our show, and Thursday and Friday as we spin forward to the week ahead. And listening to David Reed's update, which was terrific, one not-so-terrific part about it is Greg Sankey going on a radio interview in Birmingham and saying that that rule with the SEC is still appropriate this year. It is not. That rule is not appropriate for this season. And it's not appropriate for a couple of reasons.
One, remind us the rule first.
Well, the rule is that the SEC does not allow in-conference transfers. They're going to nix a conference-to-conference transfer in year one. Now, that rule is no longer
appropriate. They're blocking others right now.
He's not giving an answer. They haven't been told no. This has always been kind of the gentleman's agreement among SEC
schools. The filibuster.
And Greg Sankey. But two reasons it's not appropriate this year. One, COVID-19 and how it's changed the game for everyone this year as they're trying to put forth a roster from week to week based on contact tracing and everything else. And the fact that eligibility doesn't matter for college football players this year. It doesn't even count one way or the other. And two, because the NCAA is about to rule after this season that it doesn't matter for anyone, that no conference can have that rule. So Greg Sankey, who's been ahead of everyone in this conference, has looked smart throughout this process and being ready with a plan to play a football season and to play conference-only season and everything else. Be forward-thinking and progressive on this also. Don't be stuck in the last 30 years of the SEC on this. Go ahead and waive that rule, for I think we're looking at three or maybe four transfers in the conference from conference-to-conference schools. There was an Auburn to Kentucky quarterback, Joey Gatewood. There's the kid that transferred to Ole Miss. There's Cade Mays, and I think there may be one other. Either way, we're talking about three or four guys that are trying to get eligible this year. Just lift it and say yes and let them play this year. Cade Mays isn't even on Tennessee's two deep right now that they released. And a little bit of that is gamesmanship. He's starting, and he's preparing to start on Saturday as long as it's lifted. But he's not even listed as one of the top two players at his position. It's ridiculous.
As for the Titans, we talk about the transition Wednesday here. Football-wise, we're flipping from Jacksonville to Minnesota. But the story for most fans right now who want in Nissan Stadium is tickets. And it has been a difficult slog for a lot of people. Boys, I have some decent information here if you want me to kind of talk you through what people have been going through. Now, the system has been bad. And it has crashed. I have one person tell me it basically crashed at 10:15 yesterday.
The ticketing system, you're saying?
The ticketing system. And it's not fully functional until 8 p.m. last night. Now, this is Ticketmaster, and I think we all universally hate Ticketmaster. I tweeted today.
Yes.
If there was a candidate out there that ran a single-issue campaign on crushing Ticketmaster, I would vote for this candidate. Ticketmaster is one of the worst entities out there. But listen. The Titans are only as good as their partners in some respects. And if you're running a big ticket operation to get people in the building, 7,000 and 12,000 and 15,000. Your partner's got to be ready for this, and they've got to be able to handle it. And the Titans look like crap today because Ticketmaster didn't do its job. Ticketmaster, who's a partner of the Titans.
Well, Ticketmaster has handled larger events. I mean,
yes. But that Ticketmaster also tends to botch
fans is ridiculous
and make it difficult. So what they've done today is try to slow the process. So if you had, say, an 11 o'clock call time for to be on the web to get your tickets today, you might have gotten an email that said, hey, we're moving your time, not your priority, but we're moving your time to try to ease the strain on the system. And so instead of 11 o'clock, you have 3 o'clock or whatever. I don't know how distant the moves are, but I'm getting a lot of messages on social media that say, well, this is awfully late notice for me, and I've got a work meeting at 3 o'clock. You know, life is existing, and the Titans in doing this are sort of presupposing that everybody's sitting in front of their computer awaiting their call time to go spend money with the Titans or to go get the tickets they've already paid for when people have life going on. They have to go pick up their kids. They have work meetings, et cetera, et cetera. Now, maybe it's inefficient to have enough pairs of tickets or four pods, and it's pushed people to have six. But I'm going to read you the bulk of an email from Chris Flatt, who's been a devotee of my site from the beginning. And this will give you a sense of what exactly people are going through. You guys tell me if I'm giving you too much or too little. He's been 18 years as a PSL holder, two seats, 13 years in the 300s, and the last five in the lower bowl in the end zone. He had a 4 p.m. assigned login time. He got on at 4 p.m. until 5:30, he got an in-line waiting message. Now, already I would be furious, right? That's an hour and a half. You're sitting there looking at an in-line waiting message. Once he's in, he immediately went to the Colts game. That's the number one game he wanted. He set the quantity at 2, no seats available. Changed the quantity, gets a message, something went wrong, please refresh. Oops, please start over or try again later. Now, he could sometimes get back to the area where you select which game, but it would immediately go back to an error message. It basically just cycled through that error message for almost 45 minutes. He gave up. A couple hours later, once he was home, he tried it again. It finally worked. It would show the green spots on the seating map, but when he clicked it, it said no seats available. No other instructions or suggestions. You're just left to wonder. When he changed the quantity to 4, bingo, he had some choices. No two seats or even single seats available. So now, although he only has 2 PSLs, he's allowed or forced, in his words, to buy either 4 or 6 tickets to each game. He's stuck with his section, but now he's on the clock. Ticketmaster times you out, right? He's got to make quick decisions. So forced to buy 4 tickets, he either decides to attend 4 games for a little more than his normal $2,000 investment, or 7 games for over $4,000. That's not all about the money to him, but he doesn't want to be a scalper or a ticket broker.
For over $4,000 more than his normal investment, or for over $4,000?
$4,000 total, so more than double what his usual budget is.
Gotcha.
So he's either got to be a ticket broker, or he's got to find friends who want to go and are willing to pay for the other 2 tickets. If he goes to the secondary market to get his money back, he knows that the tickets may be going to the other side. So the Titans, either because they don't have enough 2s or because they're trying to get tickets out of their hand, many tickets that are already paid for, right? They've got to get tickets in the hands of people who have already paid them money, are forcing 4 tickets on people that only want 2 tickets. Now, this is going to push tickets onto the secondary market, and it's going to get Steelers and Colts fans in the building. So it doesn't sound like it went very well.
What would be the reasoning for only allowing 4, for allowing 4 but not allowing 2?
Well, I think maybe the 2s are gone. Maybe the structure of the way that they could distribute people in the stadium only allowed for so many 2s. I don't know. That's a good question. And other people, here's the other issue I have, and Chad, you can talk through what V-Love did here. But some people, furious, then called their ticket agent and and got their issue resolved while other people were following what seemed to be the rule and waiting in line online. Hell, if I'm waiting online online and I knew I could call my ticket agent and get things resolved in 15 minutes, I'd be calling my ticket agent. So,
well, that's the beauty in not having to go through Ticketmaster. You bypass all the mechanics of it and you talk to a human being that's in your hometown that's going to help you because they're also a Titans fan. That's the difference between the two.
I'm getting a message now saying it's hard to say calling is better for sure. So they're not encouraging that. And listen, I think all three of us saw that ticket agents were working their butts off and being very good on social media, trying to solve issues for people. And again,
everything you're describing is sounds like a Ticketmaster mechanics issue.
Yeah, except for the spacing of the two and the four. I don't want to be forced to buy four tickets if I want two tickets. And I don't understand why they're so few. Chad?
Well, we need to take a break, but because there's a lot to get into with the V-Love angle of this and how he went about it and how he corrected things on his end. And there's also a Titans ticket. I don't know if it's a rep. I think it's one of the heads of the ticketing department. That what I've seen on my personal Twitter account and his interaction with people that I want to praise on the Titans end, because this is something you're not going to get with every NFL team, the level of service that he's been giving. So I'm going to give credit where credit is due when we come back also.
Coming up, Doug Matthews, Greg Cosell. We welcome your phone call, 615-737-1045. Our number, phone lines are open. The phones are working, 615-737-1045. Our number, Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 1045 The Zone.
Week 3, and the Titans find themselves in the Twin Cities for a showdown against Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. Mike Keith and Coach Dave McGinnis have the call. Kickoff is Sunday at noon on your home for Titans football. 104.5 The Zone.
Up by Edley's Barbecue. They're online, edleysbbq.com, and we will be live from Edley's in Sylvan Park this coming Friday, 9 to 1. They're going to open early. They open at 10 a.m. on Friday. $5 breakfast tacos will be available. We're going to have $4 Edley's Best Beer all day long, Nashville-style hot pulled pork all day long. Edley's Barbecue in Sylvan Park. Come kick off the SEC season with us. We're out there celebrating the fact that we're going to see some football on Saturday within the Southeastern Conference. Coming up with Doug Matthews at 11 o'clock. Top matchups, Tennessee must win against South Carolina. He's going to break down the new Gamecocks quarterback from Colorado State, same as their new offensive coordinator, Mike Bobo. The unofficial depth chart, plus he has a great story on Gale Sayers, who passed away today at the age of 77. The youngest player to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He was 34 years old when he was inducted in 1977. Coach Matthews joins us at 11:15 with a great story growing up and watching Gale Sayers. 615-737-1045, our number. 737-1045 if you'd like to jump in.
Can't wait to talk to Coach Matthews, because the more I read about South Carolina, I feel like the less I know. So getting his preview of some of the matchups with Tennessee and South Carolina will be a lot of fun, and that Gale Sayers story. Also, this is conference kickoff week at 104.5 The Zone as we get you ready for the return of SEC football, culminating with our SEC tailgate party at Edley's in Sylvan Park on Friday with this show. You can listen all week as we highlight all the teams in the SEC with exclusive content, interviews, and giveaways. For more info on conference kickoff week, visit 104.5thezone.com.
We have a giveaway coming up. Be listening for your chance to qualify for a Tennessee Vols tailgate deal.
My impression on the ticket thing is that the Titans, took their best shot at kind of estimating what people wanted in terms of twos, fours, and sixes. Communicated with people around the league as to what they were doing, and that maybe they don't feel that they were that far off at this point. So, you're going to hear cases of people not getting what they want. And Chad, there's been some good customer service. We're not dissing the Titans per se. This is largely a Ticketmaster issue.
Yeah. And I want to give some credit where credit is due. Jim Rice, who is the Titans senior manager of ticket sales, There were people tweeting me with different accounts of everything going on based on our discussion yesterday. And he was responding to almost all of them with info on what they're doing, what the process looks like. He was being very transparent about the challenges they were having, but also ways that he could help and different things he could do. And he was telling people, hey, follow me, direct message me. I'm going to take care of you tomorrow. We're going to have a phone conversation. Even people that came at him pissed, that were cursing about the way they had been treated, he said, here's my number. Call me tomorrow and we'll work this out. And we'll talk through it, which I thought was great customer service by Jim Rice there. Now, V-Love, who's a Titans super fan, who we referenced yesterday, a good friend of the show, season ticket holder, day one season ticket holder of the Titans, maybe not the Titans, day one season ticket holder of this show, the Midday 180 for sure.
The maitre d'.
The maitre d' of Nashville, V-Love. So I saw yesterday he was on an epic rant against the Titans and the ticket process, right? And then he immediately changed his tune. Because basically everything he wanted, he got. So I reached out to him today to find out exactly what happened. He sent a tweet out yesterday at 4:47 that said, don't bleeping speak to me right now unless you are a Titans season ticket member account rep. At that point, an account rep that he works with and knows actually DM'd him when he saw that tweet. So V-Love says that at least four ticket reps follow him on Twitter. He said, I was obviously ranting and raving and angry at the time when I sent that tweet. He said, so this ticket rep messaged me. He then goes on to say, many of the 1 to 2 person pods were already gone, but I conference called my buddy who sits next to me, and we were able to pod up with 5 seats for every game. He said, Ticketmaster went full Ticketmaster, and it was a nightmare working with that. He said, if I didn't get a hold of a rep, I'd be singing a very different tune today. So here was the Titans, because a very outspoken, loud, visible member of their fan base in V-Love was going on a rant against them and their customer service and the ticket process, reaching out to him and fixing the problem that he had. Now, yeah. Paul, you brought this up also, and I'll raise this question. I don't know, for everyone, you know, complaining and bemoaning the ticket process and everything going on, I'm not sure that's necessarily fair either.
Oh, it's not fair at all.
You can use an area where you're a little bit more visible and just complain and complain and complain and complain and complain and then get exactly what you want. I'm thrilled that V-Love got taken care of. I hope that doesn't come at a cost to anyone else that wants to be taken care of to that level. But people that hear this now might automatically think, I didn't get what I wanted, so maybe I should complain more and more and then I'll get what I want.
Yeah, but V-Love's got a following and some stature among the fans. Here we are talking about him. We talk about him on a regular basis. Look, I would do the same thing and get the same result because I've got profile and whatever. And I'm a noisy, squeaky wheel.
I think almost anyone with a profile.
But I acknowledge, as V-Love should acknowledge now, he's fortunate that he was able to get that. And he went from a crying baby, frankly, to a satisfied baby because they gave him the bob.
But it's not, we're not talking about, let's just put it out there. This is not the average fan who goes to 2 games. These are the diehard season ticket holders who opted in. They all have season ticket reps in their phones.
Yes.
Come on. You think they can't call up their season ticket rep that they have on speed dial?
If every one of these fans was calling their season ticket rep, it wouldn't only be Ticketmaster that was crashing. It would be the Titans season ticket.
No excuses, Paul. No one's taking off yesterday. They're working double and triple overtime.
Of course.
Because tickets are on sale.
But if everybody did what V-Love did, there would have been a cluster at the Titans ticket office as well as on Ticketmaster. It's not a viable solution for everybody to do what he did. It's not.
We're not talking about 68,000 fans picking up the phone and calling. They had a designated time, and it turns out the ones that wanted to talk to a rep have done so.
Well, they talked to their rep after they felt the process did a disservice to them.
Well, Ticketmaster has royally screwed this up.
Right.
But they have no other options. It's not like the Titans go to another rep now. That's the NFL rep.
And this is why there needs to be a legitimate alternative to Ticketmaster. I don't know why they're allowed to exist as a virtual monopoly when one of our tenants economically is not to allow monopoly. Somebody that's much smarter than me on such things needs to explain to me why Ticketmaster is allowed to exist as it is. When big acts, Nirvana, I think, has fought it and tried to do alternative stuff. But we all know if you're trying to buy a ticket to a concert, you've got no chance at anything good.
This is, but this whole problem is exactly why I have said from the jump, it is a lot easier for teams just to say it's not worth the money and the resource and the headache to get the stadium ready and to prepare for this, to, you know, for people to complain about the process while we're trying to get a limited number of fans into the building, separated properly based on the mayor's protocols, and socially distance a seating plan based on 2 seats, 4 seats, 6 seats, and accommodate the people that spend a ton of money that want more than 6 seats, and accommodate the fan that only wants one, which was V-Love.
You're absolutely right.
So it's a lose-lose for the teams that want to try to do this.
You're absolutely right.
I don't know that it's a
lose-lose. Huge PR hit. Well, they take a huge PR hit that is not their doing when they're busting it to do the best they can. And Hutton, following your thing, what if, you know, could they not have been better off? I understand the stadium atmosphere and all of that, but you put together a great gift package for all of these people. One of a kind thing that only goes to the people who opted in, and you send it to them and say, hey, we're sorry we can't have you this year, but look at this fancy jacket that only you get. Look at this fancy bobblehead that only you get. Whatever. Super creative.
They recently sent out a beautiful thing.
I know, but be above and beyond now. And you avoid all of this hassle and you take no PR hit. You get good PR. I'm just saying it's an alternative that wouldn't have been that bad when you consider the hit they're taking right now.
I don't buy that it's a lose-lose. I don't think that the Titans are doing this out of charity, and they weren't trying to get the mayor's office to allow them to have fans for charity. And we directly asked Burke Nihil and a follow-up question, so it is financially good for you guys to even have 7,000 fans? And he said, yes. So, but Hutton, your point about it just makes more sense to not even open it up. No, it makes financial sense for them to get the ticket money, even with this many.
When the people are in
they're making
building.
A profit.
When they're in the building, they're making a profit.
They're making
a major headache going on right now. And even the people that are happy that get into the game are still sitting in a seat they didn't really want. So they're still screwed in some aspect of this, even though they opted in and had the choice.
You know, it'll be big. Play some damn good football against Pittsburgh right out of the gate for the 7,500 people that are in there. And the same thing against the Bills in Chicago.
Chad, now we go into the fans that have the 6 tickets that only originally had 2 sell 4 of them, and now you have the terrible towels waving. Oh. 2,000 of the 7 that are in the building.
Well, that maybe more.
Topic to get to. And look, I am one that has been consistent with this. If you spend money on tickets and you come up on hard times, or you just decide, you know what, I can make a lot of money by selling to an opposing fan, it's not as important to me, then you have that right. This is one where you need to extinguish that right. When you're talking about 7,000 people in the building and you're opting in for tickets, especially if you're buying up 6 tickets and you had 4 before, let's say, this is one where you don't sell to an opposing fan. I am firmly on the side of Titans fans need to be occupying these tickets for these limited availability games.
Right.
This should not be your opportunity to go price gouge and get more money from an opposing fan.
I don't know if that's necessarily what they're trying to do, but if you run out of if you have 2 tickets and there's no 2-ticket seating available and you have to buy 4 like Paul's subscriber did, then what do you do with the other 2 if you can't give them to a friend? No one wants to buy them. You put them on the open market. And if that's an opposing fan base, so be it.
Yeah,
you sold the tickets that you didn't need.
Yeah, at max price. I don't blame anybody for doing that. To be clear, I'm not saying the Titans shouldn't have opened up to fans. They got to get people in the building.
Yes,
for goodwill and for energy,
I'm right on
and for
board
all the basic things. But I could see some people right now saying, "Oh my God, look, they're getting blasted, and it's Ticketmaster's fault." And if I'm Burke Nihil, I'm talking to the highest up person I could get at Ticketmaster and saying, what the hell are you doing to us? I mean, you have made us look awful. We have a partnership with you and to the league office too. This is the partner that you choose for us to deal with on tickets. And you have made us You have set us back significantly with our public image today.
We need to check into Kansas City, to Jacksonville, to these other locations. Indy had fans in this past week, and watching the Indy and Vikings game last night, they had fans in the stands. Dallas. Yeah, how difficult was it for those people to get in the door and actually go through the process of getting their seat that is not originally theirs, but their seat to just watch the game the way they want to?
It's a good question, Hutt, but I would think people like me in those markets would have tweeted something about the hassle, and it would have shown up on my timeline the way I follow people. We would have had some hint that it was as bad as it's been here. Though you're right, we need to check in on those things.
Because, you know, certain teams had different setups, like on how about they went to distribute those certain tickets. It wasn't
just put everything.
Some
on
teams
sale.
Didn't have a free for all where you could pick your game. You were given an allotment, or you were able to pick two games, or whatever it was. Right, like it just depended on how many people had opted in.
I also think the Titans would be telling us today, at least back channeled, hey, this isn't unique to us. This went down at Arrowhead. This went down at in Dallas. This went down in Jacksonville, and there's no indication of that. I feel badly for all involved. This is a lot of stress. So for something that's a stress reliever for the people that go to these games.
I'm legitimately asking this question because I have not seen it. You guys may have because you've been following this overnight. Have people been turned away where they can't get tickets to get in the gate after opting in?
I don't think
not
so.
To my knowledge.
I think there's been – what I've seen is a lot of people kind of like V-Love who stress, piss.
So what's the big issue then?
Well, hold on. We're getting other accounts now. This is always happens. We start saying, well, this is how you go about it if you want to get it fixed. Go to your Titans ticket rep. And then Josh Gunnels writes and it says, that's not true. I've tried to reach my rep multiple times since Tuesday, period. Called multiple times, sent multiple emails, no response. No telling how many times I've tried and I can't get a hold of anyone. Buckethead says, we're calling the rep work for V-Love. Talking to a rep made me even more pissed.
Yeah. So it can be a rep by rep.
And by the way, this is
case.
Something else. Guys, this just happened in the last few minutes. This is from Carolyn. They just sent out an email saying everything's been bumped to tomorrow, the ticket buying process, because of the issues they're having with Ticketmaster.
Also, Pittsburgh is close to done. So if you're next in line, start with Pittsburgh if you want to be in the Steelers game.
Well, Carolyn
they bumped
says,
everything. It's hard to answer the questions when Ticketmaster doesn't allow the proper channels to facilitate a transaction.
Yeah, Carolyn says, I'm noisy, but I'm not someone in the Titans' eyes. Been a season ticket holder a total of 4 years, never opted out. Arranged schedule for 2 p.m. today, hoping for just two tickets to one game. Receive an email, it's been bumped until tomorrow, so now I'm out of luck since I have class.
Here's what I can say with certainty, though. The people that have opted in have never been more of a priority than they are right now. So if you feel like you haven't heard back, trust me, you're a priority for them. Why wouldn't you be?
I agree. You're a priority for them, but in what you're seeing happen, it's hard to feel like you're a priority for them. This woman just scheduled her day for her time slot.
Right.
And now that's blown up. So how does she feel like a
thanks to the Titans, they've rescheduled after Ticketmaster would have let them sit on hold for an hour and a half.
Agree. But still, I blocked out my day for that time. And now you're telling me wait till tomorrow. Yes, it'll be better tomorrow. But right now, am I pissed off about my scheduled day not fitting the time slot?
Of
Absolutely,
course.
I'm pissed
but
off.
She's better off than your subscriber was who sat on a computer for an hour and a half and wasted his time yesterday.
Yeah, and then had to come back later. But it's a cluster. Love. I mean, there's no arguing with the fact that it's a cluster.
Of course. Yeah,
now,
of
whether
course.
It's a Titans cluster or Ticketmaster's cluster, guess whose name's on it?
Well, V-Love says, I repeatedly called the main ticket office number, followed by my current rep's number, and then my old rep's number a total of 33 times. I was simultaneously tweeting before another rep reached out to me having seen my tweet and told me to call him, a different rep.
Yeah,
that was his experience. But he eventually got exactly what he wanted.
Well, that's good. I don't know that it's coming out that way for a lot of other people. And somebody forwarded me that email about everything being on pause.
V-Love's going to be at every game anyway.
You think they're going to make him 12th man?
No, he's in the end zone. He's got his big picture
of him. I noticed that at kickoff. I looked up and saw V-Love, huge cutout of V Love, visible right before the opening kickoff for Titans Jags.
That's very cool. I think they wanted to do that bigger, and they would have wrapped it further around. It's just hard to get the high res picks that they need to make that happen. And maybe the same thing with the cutouts. But look, the cutouts are coming down because people are going to be in some of those seats. That banner is going to be there all year long, the way Eddie and Steve were there last year.
615-737-1045, our number. Phone call straight ahead, headlines as well. And Greg Cosell joins us in 30 minutes. Midday with Eddie, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, online, edleysbbq.com. We will be live at Edley's this coming Friday for our tailgate for the SEC kickoff. You can join us starting at 10 a.m. We're live at 9. They open at 10, Edley Sylvan Park. Of course, Poncho and Lefty's right across the street there. Coming up at 10:15, Greg Cosell joins the show, explaining the details of Tannehill's decisions at the line of scrimmage. Is Clowney making an impact through two games? And he'll give us his first thoughts on the Minnesota Vikings at 0-2. Again, that's coming up at 10:15 this morning. You can join us now, 615-737-1045, 737-1045, if you'd like to jump in. The other perspective here are the people who have been season ticket holders for a while that are waiting and patiently waiting on their time to jump the queue, right, and actually select their seats and select their games. And the majority of those, I believe, are in the upper level, which is not available right out of the gate, right?
Not available for Steelers. It's available after that.
So if you want the Steelers game, you've got to sit in the club level or the lower bowl. And the club level tickets, those are actually the easiest to get right now, based on what you're hearing, Paul.
Yeah, it's the least popular ticket. First off, it's the most expensive, right? And the key, Chad, you were saying this, that the key to the club ticket is kind of the socialization element. The socialization element's being hit down. What are they going to offer in the actual club where you go in there? The benefits of the club ticket.
There's no reason.
Social distancing.
There's no reason to be in the club. You want to be, the club is usually a place that we would like to be. We like to be in the club. You don't want to be in the club. As 50 Cent said, this is one time that you don't want to find someone in the club. You want to be down lower level as close as possible. And you want to be close to a concession that's open and a restroom, and that's about it. I mean, you're right, Paul. For a premium ticket price, I don't see the value of having those club tickets this season.
I'm also told generally, even in regular circumstances, those are the toughest resale tickets. People don't want to buy club tickets on the secondary market either. And that's why you don't see Steelers and Bills fans in the club section, generally speaking. Is that fair?
I guess
I'm thinking of that now. I mean, they're down in front generally.
If we're being fair, we don't see many fans in the red seats anyway, because they're inside.
Generally they're inside. Yeah.
So we don't know. Well, Chad would know. He would be.
But those visiting fans, Hutton, don't come to the game to be inside socializing. They come.
No, you're right. No, I agree.
So if they were in the club section, we'd see them, and we don't.
Completely agree with that. 615-737-1045, our number. Gale Sayers passed away today at the age of 77. Seven seasons with the Bears, but the majority of his numbers he put up in 5 years because of knee issues. 4,956 yards and 39 touchdowns. And the vast majority of those numbers came through the first five seasons he was in the league. Once scored 6 touchdowns in a game. Was drafted in 65. With Butkus as a part of that draft class. Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus, same draft class for Chicago. Things have changed in the world of the NFL since. But the Kansas Comet, may he rest in peace at the age of 77. We will have a great story with Doug Matthews. And he's told it briefly, not in full detail, but just in passing with us. And I called him up this morning. I said, hey, I need you to go in detail on this story about his first college football game in person. he watched Gale Sayers. He watched the Kansas Comet. So that's coming up today at 11:15. We'll hear from Mike Vrabel at 11 and Greg Cosell at 10:15 this morning. I went back, guys, and watched the Vikings-Colts game last night. The Vikings offense, this is how bad it was. To put in perspective just how bad they are, it was like watching the Titans offense against the Denver Broncos last year. They went on a drive to begin the game. They got the football, drove right down the field, stalled in the red zone, kicked a field goal. From that moment on, they did not gain a yard on the stat sheet going into halftime.
This is a team that people, including me, picked to go to the playoffs. There's always a team a couple games in, you say, what the hell was I thinking? How did you not see this coming?
Cousins looks at Thielen every play.
And that's it, right?
That's it.
I saw some tweets complaining about Tajay Sharp's role.
Didn't notice
the snap counts. You know, he's playing 15 snaps.
Yeah, what he was doing here.
Yeah, like a fourth receiver would do.
What's your motto on money? About you pay the player, does it make him better?
Yeah, right. He is what he is, Tajay Sharp. And he's good at what he does.
He played a great role here.
Yeah.
We're not downplaying the role, but he doesn't step into Diggs' spot.
No, it's right? Very dangerous to project a guy up, you got to be damn sure that he goes up. You can't pay Alvin Harper to become your number one wide receiver. When he played opposite Michael Irvin, you've got to recognize that he's a number two receiver who plays opposite Michael Irvin. He does that well. He's not going to come and be your number one. That's foolish forecasting, right?
Agreed.
But Minnesota's just bad, and they are trapped into Kirk Cousins, and they could now get themselves, you know, they're in the Lawrence sweepstakes now, aren't they? Their schedule, no. I'm going to look it up here while Chad makes his point. Wait till you hear this.
I don't.
Okay.
Unless they just decide to crater, I still think there's enough talent there where they're not in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. But this weekend we'll have a lot to say with that
if they
fall to 0-3. Paul, is it safe to say that Tajay Sharp is staying in his lane with his performance so far in Minnesota?
He's staying in the lane of a fourth wide receiver who doesn't play much.
He's living by his own mantra of stay in your lane.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how I don't know how much rapping he's doing, so that's a question. Tennessee at Houston, and Houston's chomping at the bit to play somebody beatable.
Yep.
At Seattle.
Yep.
Atlanta, who's scoring points. We know that.
A lot of points.
Bye week at Green Bay. I mean, they might not win until Detroit on November 6th. That puts them in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes.
Well, this Sunday will tell a lot about just how bad Minnesota's going to be, though. This is the Alamo moment for them. Time to rally for the Vikings.
Animal trapped in the corner.
They empty the chamber this Sunday.
Yep.
That's you fall to 0-3 with that schedule. That's a great point, Paul. I hadn't looked ahead on their schedule.
Bad.
And you know Zimmer has to be just, as Coach Mack would say, his piss is hot. Right? Like they're giving up 71 points through 2 weeks and 309 yards combined on the ground. A defensive team.
Now,
the talk was about their secondary, and they're giving that up in the front.
Well, they lost their premier pass rusher in Hunter. And like as much as we want the Titans to have that guy, when you have that guy and then you lose that guy.
Yeah.
Right? That and your secondary is rebuilt as it is, and then you lose the guy that makes the quarterback throw fast. That's a troublesome deal. And they're nowhere as good as they should be right now. Titans fans are praying that they sustain that. And meanwhile, the Packers are scoring. You're talking about what Minnesota's not doing. And then you look at their division foe and what they are doing. And the Packers may not have drafted a receiver, but they picked up where they left off. And they're slinging it and they're scoring it. And those two teams look like, you know, class of the league and dredge of the league. It couldn't be further apart right now.
615-737-1045. David Reed has some headlines for us when we come back. And we're close to chatting with Greg Cosell of NFL Films at 10:15. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
This is your home for Titans football.
The Titans intercept the batted ball in the end zone. Jay on Brown, the man who tipped it. Big Jeff.
104.5, The Zone.